Welcome. This is In Defense of Humanity, our weekly show. My name is Ingrid Castle, and my co-host, Al Whitney. And this show is, I'm going to repeat this because we've had some wonderful callers. We always welcome new people to our show. We do have a few regulars, too. But I want everyone to understand that this show is about helping people wake up to the wondrous and endearing qualities of our own species while understanding that the current commercial legal structure that both government and business is built upon is actively working to take control of most organic life forms on our planet. And we need to restore our unalienable rights while preserving our planet, and this will require that we understand what has happened while empowering ourselves as living men and women. And this is really important that we understand that we're being used and abused as human resources by a corporate commercial system that most of us don't even know is in place. And there's a lot that's been going on. Every week we, kind of keep everyone a little bit updated with what we're doing. Today is September 19th. It's kind of a significant date for me. This is the date 6 years ago that my husband passed. And most people understand that he was murdered. He was the editor of the Idaho Observer and the love of my life. So I was reminded with a phone call today, of course, and I always do remember this date. But it is Saturday the 19th, and the topic of our show is actually going to be on what you can do to avoid interacting with the system, or, you know, really avoiding participation in this corporate beast of a system. And there's different strategies, of course. And we have a great 8th edition of Lawfully Yours. You can go to anticorruptionsociety.com, and at the top of that page, you'll see a couple different tabs. One is Lawfully Yours, and there's also a tab that says IDH, so you can always review our archives of different programs at indefenseofhumanity.com. And you'll see the topic of those programs at the IDH links at anticorruptionsociety.com. So, yeah, we just, Al just buttoned up the 8th edition. And the reason the Lawfully Yours goes through so many editions is that it's a work in progress as we learn more and we're educating ourselves and we get feedback. So, right now, Al, do you want to go ahead and share some of the things that you added to it? Because I know one of them was about your signature and how you sign without prejudice and why.
Yeah, we did. We added a little more explanation. Judge Dale had it in there, but we added a quote from the UCC so people understand why that's important, without prejudice. And gave a little bit of explanation. We also added some information relating to your legal character based on Executive Order 13132, which I believe we talked about last week. So there is, and we added a little bit of information from Judge Malloy, who we also spoke about. So we just kind of try to make it a little clearer, a little easier to understand, and that's what happened with the 8th edition. But tonight we're going to talk about, Ingrid, the importance of non-participation. And I know there are other people who talk about the corporate government. I don't know. It seems really hard for people still that I speak to understand what has gone on. If they haven't read Judge Dale, The Great American Adventure, which is a free download on anticorruptionsociety.com, if they haven't read that, they may still not be aware of the permanent state of national emergency and how they made us enemies of the state, requiring us to get licensed for almost everything we do. Recently, to help us bring this into a little better focus, three West Virginians put together an amazing lawsuit. And they filed it. It's a complaint, basically, and they filed it in the Supreme Court of West Virginia. And it's gotten a lot of attention. Ingrid's listened to some of the calls of this group. Thomas Deegan seems to be their spokesperson and does an excellent job. His knowledge is superb. But while we get into the importance of non-participation in the corporate government, why don't we start it off with a clip from a call that Thomas was on, and he was explaining what they had done with this claim in West Virginia, and that will introduce everyone to what this claim is all about, and it'll help people understand why we're going to make the statements we're going to make about non-participation. Can we play that now? Can we play the audio clip?
Go ahead and fill us in on what's happening in West Virginia.
Okay, so what we did was we followed the protocol of true law, not statutory, not constitutional, true law, and that is requires us to give notice to those that were harming us and give them an opportunity to cure the harm. We did that initially with the legislature in late February before they left session. We heard crickets chirping, trying to stay in full compliance with the purported law of America. We followed the First Amendment then and petitioned the other two branches, the executive and the judicial. Once again, crickets chirping. So we decided to go ahead and file a complaint under a writ of quitom, which is a writ that allows us to come in on behalf of all the people of the state and of the king himself, the king of all kings, which allowed us to be a private attorney general without using any statutory authority whatsoever. And we filed suit against the purported governor, the purported attorney general, and the owner of the West Virginia legislature, and we left it open for all unknowns. We did this under the authority of absolute necessity, because, of course, we can't recognize their fictional venue and jurisdiction and law form, but out of absolute necessity, we had no other place to go. And this was at the end of May. We charged that they were in flagrant willful breach of their contract, flagrant willful constructive fraud, fraud in the factum, fraud in the inducement, breach of oath, violations of the Constitution, 1819, violations of the West Virginia Constitution, violations of common law, free will choice, natural law, modern day slavery, and conspiracy of all the aforementioned. We did allow for the fact that any omission does not constitute a waiver, and that we had the right to amend this complaint at any future time we felt we needed to. We brought in facts and self-evident truths from Bastier concerning government and our rights and liberties as granted by the author of all. We incorporated the petitions that we served, because they were not only petitions but affidavits, and by their silence that allowed us to use those as admissions of the 14 points we put forth. We incorporated the Holy Bible. We incorporated the entire 1819 Constitution, the entire 1872 West Virginia Constitution, incorporated the Declaration of Independence. We incorporated Public Law 97-280. We incorporated each and every petition that we did. We incorporated all affidavits of service. We incorporated the Act concerning the rights of American citizens in foreign states, otherwise known as the Expatriation Act. We incorporated the Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917, the Emergency Banking Act of 33. We incorporated the entire 700-page Senate Report 93-549. We incorporated the historic lien against us filed on July 28, 2011. We incorporated federal regulations, Army regulations. We incorporated the Acts for Punishment of Certain Crimes from 1790. And we put forth several biblical scriptures, because we have proven through congressional record that the founding of our country is based upon biblical scriptures, and anything in violation of biblical scriptures cannot be law and is therefore null and void from its inception. We incorporated 6 pages over 300 maxims of law. Of course, each of the three signatories to this complaint was able to prove at least some small sort of damage from them. Gene was unable to obtain lawful gold and silver coin for his refund. Phil had a problem with biometric and licensing. And if I was kidnapped three times without warrant. We proved our standing. We proved harm. And so there's no reason that that this complaint could be dismissed at all. It can't be. You can't.
Yeah, that's where that got.
Yeah, as long as there's harm, it can't be within their system.
You gentlemen did one hell of a great job.
We then put forth an affidavit of negative averment denying that they could do everything that they were doing, and we put it out point by point. It went everything
exactly.
To the authorities, to the United States Congress declaring us as enemies, to being able to operate private corporations for profit and have them purport to be government, the fact that they're not in compliance with the original Constitution. Various points, I'll let you guys read them. We then took the petition and the statements that we made and put them out as facts because they refused to answer. So there were 14 of them, and they went at the basis of the War Powers Act and the fact that we were enemy combatants, and they were utilizing military jurisdiction on sovereign soil. We did let them know that the jurisdiction was proper because they do have jurisdiction as fictions over the other fictions in operation, but that they did not have jurisdiction over us. And we let them know that their venue was proper because of under the authority of necessity, there was no other court in operation that we could take it to. Once again, there were over 300 maxims of law. That is the law, period. It is superior to their code. It is superior to their constitution. There is only one thing superior to the maxims of law, and that is the Bible itself. You'll have to forgive me if you're screwing up a little bit here. So then we asked for the relief and remedy, which were various writs of mandamus and prohibitions. And to sum them up very quickly, we wanted complete compliance and return to constitutional law, a constitutional government. And absent that, we wanted the expatriation of ourselves honored with the paperwork to show that we had left their corporate system and had complete diplomatic immunity from them. We gave them a very easy out, which was the expatriation, which they're required by an 1868 act of Congress to adhere to and to honor. They've refused to do that. We did sign it with seals. It was filed. We have the stamp. We received a scheduling order from them approximately June 6th, which attempted to transform us into fictions because the maximum law states like things must deal with like things. Of course, that's the crux of our case. They can't deal with us. We can't deal with them. And we wanted to know why our fellow brothers and sisters are in jail, because they can't deal with us. So we did correct them. We refused their scheduling order, and we set forth our order, which was 30 days from the date of filing. The defendants had to respond. That was actually giving them leeway based upon trial court rules of West Virginia, which required a judgment to be entered within 30 days of the filing of a complaint for extraordinary relief. They violated their own trial court rules. The second rule in the rules of the Supreme Court of Appeals is there are no rules. And we let them know that, of course, if they're not in compliance with the original contract, they can't make the rules for court because they're not following the original contract, so they have no authority to make rules, period. And so we said we were going to buy.
They totally disregarded your action. They did not respond. They did not do anything.
They gave a technical response under Supreme Court trial rules. Of course, because we invoke Rule 2, which is there are no rules, and that we'll give the rules and orders as they need to become them. We did refuse their response because their response was, we're the government, and there's nothing you can do about it. You're frivolous. Go away. We rejected their response, and we gave them a 10-page correction of their 2-page response, and then went ahead and gave them notice of default and dishonor in commerce, equity, admiralty, in law and at law and otherwise. We gave them an opportunity to cure. We gave them a second notice of the same, including silence of acquiescence and notice of unclean hands with an opportunity to cure. And at that point, they're dead in the water. We have not heard from them since then except for a letter begging us to please stop sending Mr. Harrison filings at his home. And, of course, we told them that we will continue sending filings to the registered address of the business that we are in suit with. We have not heard from them except for a fine young gentleman from California called to inquire why this case had not been set for oral hearing and jury trial. And he was told that it was pushed back to the fall docket. We have not received notice of it being pushed back, so they're further in violation of due notice, which is the most basic process of law there is on this earth.
Comment?
Point. Go ahead.
Yeah, what about the constitutional violation of foreign troops being on American soil?
That's of no consequence at this time. Because your own military is going to kill you.
Yeah,
and because you're an enemy combatant.
Yeah, but it's still a violation of our U.S. Constitution.
Hang on a second. Jim, that's sort of like off topic. Let Thomas finish what they're doing with the case.
Okay.
There's nothing in the contract that says they can't have foreign troops here. Show me where it says in the contract. I'm just going by the contract terms, not what we believe it to be. But that's of no concern because you're an enemy combatant and because you're all enemies and they are foreign to us. They can do whatever they need to do to slaughter the enemy combatants in war. We are at war. We are enemy combatants. Under the laws of war, they can kill you. I am simply looking to remove these guys from office and install a civil authority under constitutionally compliant government structure so that the military can be given an order from a civil authority to stand down before they kill us. And so far I have seen no other state that is in the same position as us that can effectuate a civil authority in the time needed. That's the only presentation I have. I will just open it up for questions or remarks.
This is Colleen Oliver. I received a very large package in regards to what's going on with Tom, and it was interpreted by a professor at the University of New Hampshire who has access to all of the law books at the library, and she says basically that Tom has found the holy grail of what can happen, but here's a conflicting thing. While we're going through all of this and with the new TPP changes, some courts, and especially the Supreme Court right now, are acting under the United Nations guidelines, and they have completely disavowed the Constitution. On state levels is the only way that we can effectuate this, and so Tom has this at 100%.
Well, that's quite alarming, I think, don't you? I mean, he brought up a lot of really important things in this that we've talked about. Judge Dale talks about the fact that we are enemies of the state. And I don't think, I don't think we've done a program on that, Ingrid. People still don't understand that we are classified as enemies of the state.
Right.
Which is why they can mandate, or they believe they can mandate, that you have a license to get a dog, you have a license to drive a car, you need a license to paint a house. I mean, the reason all the licensing is required is because we are considered enemies of the state. And he brings that out, and too often people don't get that. Let's go for a break, and we'll talk more about what that all means afterwards.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
This is a public announcement. Be ready to copy down a website address at the end of this message. If there was ever a doubt in our mind that radio works, it's gone. We have received such response to our $350 down, $99 a month land purchase opportunity from you that we are blown away. To keep our overhead down, we're using an internet-based sales tool so you can buy with confidence and purchase your land in New Mexico with just a click of a mouse and even pay with PayPal. But some people have said they'd like to arrange multiple parcels or have other questions. We'd be happy to talk to you. Call us toll-free at 855-LANDHO1. That's 1-855-L-A-N-D-H-O-1. New Mexico land parcels are still available at only $350 down and $99 a month. This is beautiful land near amenities of a city, but far enough away to be private. And in as little as 1 year, you own it. $350 down, $99 a month. As the days go on, the land gets more and more limited. So visit us online at landho.tv, L-A-N-D-H-O.tv right now.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Come to Finca Baiano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
Hey, welcome. Welcome back to In Defense of Humanity. We just heard a clip of Thomas Deegan talking to a group. He has conference calls every Monday and Thursday, and there's a growing group of people across the country that want to support, you know, some kind of action to have his stuff enforceable on the lawlessness going on in that state, which is happening, of course, in all 50 states. But there's a lot of things that he revealed in his statements that certainly are dovetailed to other things we've discussed. We talked about Joyce Rosenwald, that great interview that she did on Talk Shoe with Angela Stark, that's available. And I know you had some specific things that you felt like that you wanted to talk about, Al, that...
Yeah, he did bring up some really important things, and that's why we're talking about the importance of non-participation. When you listen to what he has to say, if you are still a registered voter, and God forbid if you're still voting, please understand what you're doing. You are voting for a private corporation officers to serve in a private for-profit corporation that doesn't answer to you. Now, why would you do that? This private for-profit corporation considers you to be an enemy. So why would you vote for their officers? They have no authority over us. So why would you give the impression they do by voting for anyone to serve in any capacity for this government from the White House all the way down, really, to the dog catcher if he runs for office? That's kind of what we're trying to make the point. The importance of non-participation. By voting, the mere act of voting, you are giving legitimacy to an illegitimate institution. That's not helping us. That's not helping you. That's not helping anyone. We have been doing that since the 1933 when they launched the permanent state of national emergency and made us enemies of the state. It's true that we haven't been told. It's true that I myself participated in many elections. I was even involved in campaigning for a presidential candidate, but not anymore. Now I realize that by participating, they have the perception that they're still under in control. They can still make us jump through hoops, and we do. And as long as we continue to go to the polls to vote, they are confident that their scam is still working, and everybody or most people still believe they have a legitimate government. So for those who are listening, at least if you're aware of this scam, for goodness sake, stop voting. In fact, cancel your voter's registration. Why would you vote for this corrupt anyone to serve in this corrupt corporation that is, quite frankly, has no authority to do what they're doing? They're just for-profit institutions making money off of the taxpayers and passing rules to control our behavior and to charge us more fines, fees, and taxes. At least that's what's going on in my town. They are always passing rules to increase their revenue at our expense, and they don't care. No matter how much we complain, they keep doing it. They don't have to stop because we still go to the polls, and we still vote, and we still act like we have faith that they are a legitimate government when they're not. So I think the fact that he brought up what she brought up so many times is they have no authority is critical. And we've got that in Lawfully Yours, challenging by what authority, what contract did I sign? Challenging their authority should be, you know, like basics for all of us by now. They don't have the authority. They are, I think Frank Collins calls them pirates, doesn't he?
Yes. And it's true. I mean, once you start studying this information, you get very careful what you affix your signature to. And that's one of my biggest things when I deal with people with vaccination exemptions, you know, because it's getting tight. They want every man, woman, and child to be vaccinated. And the adult immunization plan is, you know, really going forward at record speed. And
okay, here we have a break.
Very, very difficult.
We'll be back shortly.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils has an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there's only one, Pure Effect Ultra. It features advanced anti-radiation technology and is constantly rated 5 stars as the number one system for reduction of fluoride, drug and chemtrail residues, heavy metals, and more. It raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and provides virtually instant clean water on demand, all while using no electricity. Want to learn more? Visit PureEffectFilters.com. That's PureEffectFilters.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
This is a public announcement. Be ready to copy down a website address at the end of this message. Friends, you've heard our commercial talking about land in New Mexico for $350 down and $99 a month, and we really appreciate your response. But land parcels are getting scarce. Current prices are already going up, and the commercial message you're hearing now could be pulled at any time. So you should act quickly. Our company acquired this development at a great price, and we're able to sell parcels to you at an unheard of $350 down and $99 a month. And at the end of only 1 year, you own it. Purchase via PayPal at landho.tv, LANDHO.TV. And this isn't a swampland deal, folks. This is your chance to own a piece of our great nation in the foothills of a beautiful mountain range. A perfect place to camp anytime or have as an emergency retreat for your family for generations to come. And at $350 down and only $99 a month, it's a no-brainer. Land as a gift or a hedge against economic disaster. Visit landho.tv, LANDHO.TV right now.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Okay, welcome back to In Defense of Humanity. I was just discussing, actually, how when I'm helping people with vaccine exemptions, I've run into all kinds of interesting situations, because today it's like they're really tightening the noose, especially when it comes to freedom of anything tied to the medical profession. So, you know, even hospital admission forms, anytime you're interacting with a doctor's office. But the latest one is these school forms. And the first time I was made aware in California how bad some of these admission forms can be was this past summer. There was a woman who was asking me what I thought about this form. And she typed out a clip, or actually she sent it from her camera, you know, a JPEG a clip of the form. And my jaw dropped. I thought, well, my gosh, you know, if they're making people sign that, why are we even dealing with exemptions? You know, which is basically exemptions. I mean, exceptions to the rule, which is mandated vaccines across the country. So you're literally begging them to, you know, make an exception out of you and your kid for, you know, religious reasons or philosophical reasons. And, you know, the medical reasons are all sewed up. You have to actually suffer very serious consequences. So this is a potentially deadly or disabling injection that is being required just to go to their Common Core schools. I mean, the whole thing is pretty outrageous. But what this form had on it that was the most outrageous. It was literally a form to give complete medical power of attorney to the school and the school staff while the child's there. Like, the way it's worded, and I was trying to find it on my computer, and at a break I might find it if anybody wants me to read it. It's all in legalese. But if any parent signs this, it doesn't matter if they have an exception on file, a vaccine exemption or any kind of exemption on file. It literally gives medical power of attorney to any staff member. The janitor can give your daughter a rectal exam, and that's covered in this form through your signature. So, I mean, I can't stress that enough. You know, you got to really look at what you're signing. I mean, it's dealing with a nursing student, and what's real typical with nursing students is that they have to do their practicum at a hospital, and the hospital requires that all the students coming from the school are vaccinated before they can do the practicum, and they don't want just the influenza, but just the MMR and the DPT and on. And so she didn't have a contract with the hospital that she knew of. She had a separate contract with the school, but I told her, you need to look at your admissions forms. You know,
well, you know, the other thing, Ingrid,
right,
is
then
she shouldn't be going into nursing. And that's not a small thing. That's a big thing. Because she will be asked to do this. She will be asked to inject people with toxic vaccines as part of her job. So if she really knows that vaccines are dangerous and doesn't want to receive them herself, I have to question, why does she want to be inflicting them on people as a profession?
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
I think people want to believe things are going to change.
Yeah.
And I always find that to be really hypocritical for a nurse to give injections but want to refuse them for themselves.
Yes. So, I mean, the better question to her sometime in the future, if she should contact you again, if you're so familiar with how dangerous they are, why do you want to go into a profession where you will be doing this to innocent people? And probably you're not going to be able to tell them the truth about the vaccines.
Right.
So, I think she, right now is not a good time to go into medicine, folks. Right now is a bad time.
By the way,
unless we get rid of these agencies and this network, this corporate control, what's happening in medicine is pretty dastardly, as far as I could tell. But I also wanted to bring up, Ingrid, that in that audio, he used the term crickets chirping. He used it twice, and I'd never heard of it. Ingrid's never heard of it. We're going to take calls in the second hour, and I'm going to put out a request. If anybody knows what that means, crickets chirping, I'm sure it's a phrase that they know, and probably a lot of people know what that means. I don't, and I'm sort of curious. I'd like to know, what did he mean when he said crickets chirping?
Yeah, what code?
Really. And incidentally, I want to give his website so people who are interested in following that case, you can get information about that case, and all the documents that he referred to are listed on the website, and it's hudok.info, and it's HUDOK, hudok.info. And when you go there, it's not that hard to navigate. There's a list of the documents. I think they've got some, you can go and find YouTubes that have been out there. He's done more than that. He's done quite a bit, actually, as far as both calls and YouTubes. And he appears frequently on an internet radio program called Truth Traveler. So if you want to hear more from Thomas Deegan, you can go to Truth Traveler, and she interviews him frequently. I've listened to several, and I get the feeling that they're kind of close and they're friends, and she understands the whole corporate government. She really does. She's done her homework. And sadly, I don't remember her name. But anyway, Another way that we wanted to mention the importance of non-participation, and this happens all the time, and all it does is reinforce to me that people do not want to let go of the fact that they have a legitimate government. They really want to believe in it. They truly, in their heart of hearts, want to believe that they have a legitimate constitutional government that's protecting them from harm. And I'm amazed, Ingrid, no matter how bad the government behaves, how many horrible wars, how they sell out to the bankers and Wall Street. We've got the Tea Party, we've got Occupy, and yet people still go back to vote, and they still send letters to Congress people. They still send letters to the state legislature, and they still sign petitions. So, honestly, if I was sitting in the position of government right now, I wouldn't be very threatened because the public is still behaving as if this is a legitimate government. There aren't that many of us who understand that it's all a fraud and a scam. Not yet, anyway. But our numbers are growing, don't you think?
I actually do. I think the time is ripe for more and more people just to absolutely say, no, I don't recognize your authority in my life.
Right.
Where's the contract? I mean, you just kind of say that. Where is my signature that gave you the authority? You know, you're a corporation. I am a living, flesh and blood human being, and you simply don't have any authority in my life because I have not contracted with you.
Yes.
And if I have, I need to see that contract.
Well, and I thought it was quite interesting how he put in there that the least they were asking for was diplomatic immunity.
Right.
You know, I mean, they were actually asking to fix the problem, but they added, but they would also want diplomatic immunity. And we talked about that, your legal character, and we're trying to get people to understand. And as you know, we put that in the latest edition of Lawfully Yours, that importance of that executive order and making sure that you declare you define your legal character. You don't let them define it. And we may add that, Ingrid, in the future, add that executive order reference to explain the importance of making that definition in our paperwork. I also appreciate the fact that he said the most basic of legal instrument is the notice, and that's a fact. That's why we've used it. That's why so many people use it. It's an integral part of their system.
Right.
Affidavits and notices and, of course, contracts. But he also brought out the fact, Ingrid, that equals, they cannot contract with us. And I thought that interesting because that leaves him in a dilemma, because if they can't contract with him and the others, there's three of them, how are they supposed to communicate?
Yeah, it's putting the whole system in a dilemma, which is...
It is a dilemma, isn't it? Because even answering them... Because they're not equals.
Right.
I think that's interesting. It's a catch-22 on their part, in my opinion.
It is. Well, they would have to step out of their fictional roles.
Yes. And I don't know that they... Question. Can they even do it?
Right.
Every one of them is assigned a role in the corporate structure. Could they do it in paper? I don't know. They could do it as a flesh and blood man. A judge could sign something with just the judge's name. But the minute he puts his position in there, he's back in that legal
back
structure.
Back in the system as an employee of the corporation.
Yeah. So I kind of like the fact that they've created a catch-22 going the opposite direction. We talk about that all the time, don't we? You know, every time they get us in a catch-22, we have to put on our thinking cap and figure out how to flip it. And it's possible to flip it by just demanding that they put something in paper.
Right.
Making a claim against you. Because once you identify that you're a flesh and blood living man or woman, and then demand that they make a claim against you, that then they are in the catch-22. And I've seen that happen too.
Right. Right.
Where someone made that demand, and the respondent, which was a city trying to get someone to apply for a new permit, the city employee, all the city employee could do was to restate the statute. According to statute so-and-so and so-and-so. And typed in the exact words of the statute. So to me that meant that they were in a catch-22.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, that to me is a solution. It's not the solution. I think HUDAC thinks that possibly the military is going to intervene. I don't know that for a fact, but I think he, I mean, that is what he would like to see happen, is the military to intervene and get the corporation to stand down. Military stand down and not attack the people. Because, you know,
it's definitely something to watch and to get involved. They're actually looking for several thousand people and setting a date to make sure that, you know, these people do stand down and that they are removed from office. So it's a little touchy. I mean, it's not something that they actually want publicized in a huge way. They wanted to get Oath Keepers involved, but they think that's ends up being somewhat of a front. I don't think they have much faith in Oath Keepers at all, really doing what they were set out to do in their mission statement.
No, and of course not, because the whole thing about Oath Keepers is most of them in there who have taken an oath to the Constitution during the permanent state of national emergency, so they've really actually taken an oath to uphold the permanent state of national emergency.
Yeah, well, most people don't understand that. That's why I really appreciate what Thomas Deegan and crew have done. I've had a couple conversations with Jim in Florida, and I actually owe him a phone call. I just got really busy myself, and it was one of the things I was going to do tomorrow and get caught up, because I wanted to be in touch with these people. They are doing a really good thing that is just under-publicized. And I think it's a great, they have a great stuff for all of us to do in each of our individual states. They actually have templates for all the states to do the same thing. So that's, I mean,
are
I
you
would
talking
have
about the courts?
Yeah, he has petitions. He has all the stuff. Everything that they did in West Virginia, they have ready to morph it and do it for all 50 states.
Well, there was a problem with that, though. I haven't looked at it lately, but initially he said the reason that they could do it in West Virginia is they had this law in the state that did not recognize necessity. In other words, the Constitution of the state of West Virginia did not recognize the permanent state of national emergency.
Oh.
And at the time, this was, oh my gosh, maybe 6 weeks ago when I first heard him, he made that point that other states may not have that. And that was why West Virginia was so important and how they were so excited when they found that. That apparently their constitution cannot be suspended out of it for an emergency.
So all of this, so it's very clear that
right.
There's a rogue corporate government in place that's totally counter to their constitution, because
right.
they don't have that. Oh, wow, that's interesting. I haven't delved into it as much as I've wanted to. You know, it's like the fall hit.
Well, no,
that's,
and I'm
Twitter study.
I am kind of watching it and have reservations. I mean, maybe there are people who are listening tonight and like to call in. We have some reservations about it. We give them our total support. The fact that they put all this down on paper is just fabulous. And anybody and everybody can read it, because none of it's been rebutted. So their research is sterling. In fact, he brought up someone in one of the calls. They brought up the question of, well, what about when somebody gets voted into office? And because he had said once they take office, they no longer work for us.
That's right.
And the individual said, oh, I How can you prove that? I mean, they don't believe that. And so he brought up, and I went to his website, and sure enough, he brought up the International Organization Immunities Act of December 9, 1945, whereby Congress relinquished every public office over to the UN. Local governments up to the president fall under UN jurisdiction. Congress gave the UN the right to dictate what laws will be international and gave them the right to tax the states. And then he said an International Reorganization Rescind Act was written. Congress put this information into form, but they never took action to pass it. And we'll finish this little bit about the International Reorganization Rescind Act after the break.
Your money, what is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
Come to Finca Baiano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
Extend your life with
Extendivite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Okay, welcome back to In Defense of Humanity. This is the last segment of the first hour. And, you know, we can actually talk about this topic for a long time, but we do take callers the second hour. So we're going to want to talk a little bit during the first part of the second hour, and then we'll probably take your calls about 10 after. Right, Al?
Right. Let me finish reading about the International Reorganization Rescind Act. Because it is clear that Congress actually put it into a form, but they never took action to pass it. And here's what this document, incidentally, I got from hudoc.info. on that page, I think if you look at, what did he call it, foreign agents, that's when this public officials are foreign agents sheet comes up. But here's what it says. Fairly recently, an Ohio judge, let's hear it for him, filed suit claiming that Congress did not have the right to relinquish government authority over to the UN, a corporation or foreign country, and that the Congressional Act was constitutional violation because they didn't put it to the states or the people to agree on it. In 2005, the Supreme Court declined to hear the case. Therefore, all public offices are under UN jurisdiction and the public office holders are not American citizens.
Yeah.
Now, who knows that? Nobody.
I don't think anyone knows that, actually.
No, that was a part of, again, when they brought in the UN and a whole bunch of stuff got put on the table and signed. You'd be amazed at what was signed that the people didn't know about. But remember, at the time, who was in control of the country? The banksters, because they had put the country into bankruptcy, so they were the trustees.
So what you're saying is the federal agencies are under the UN, which is why...
Right.
When you write to Congress, they'll write about an agency. The agency has superior authority to Congress. That's always been apparent.
That's right. They do. And they have superior authority to even the court in the sense that I think I told you or mentioned it on a previous show, and you can go on YouTube and find it. I could probably post it if I could relocate it again. Yamianis won the argument on fluoride in a Pennsylvania court, and the judge heard all of his evidence and decided that there can be nobody forcing fluoride into the water. In fact, I think the judge ruled that fluoride had to be removed. They had to stop fluoridating the water in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And the federal government agency stepped in and said that the judge did not have the authority to tell the agencies what to do. Why is that? Because these 450 agencies are in place during a permanent state of national emergency. So what they did is they basically told the judge, during a national emergency, you cannot tell the agencies what to do.
Right.
And that's where we're at, folks. You can go to call into court and yell and scream all you want, but when it comes, push comes to shove, the courts will protect the agencies during a state of national emergency. Okay, here's our break, and we'll start our second hour as soon as we come back. And if you have a question, feel free to call in.